Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're recording on location at Wild Wings of Oneka in Hugo, Minnesota. We're here today for a Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt, which is hosted by Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and the man of the hour, the man behind the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, Mr. Chuck Haas. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Great to be back with you.
You know, you called me, you said, hey, we're doing our 32nd hunt out here, welcome home hunt. You asked if the Minnesota Military Radio would like to come out. And of course, you know, you're one of those guys typically it's tough to say no to. So here we are. We're sitting in this fantastic room. We've got some great scenery, a bunch of stuff up on the walls. But instead of talking about that, let's talk about you, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon at Hugo, and really what today is all about.
Doug, today is about giving back to those soldiers and airmen that got deployed and missed a hunting season, and it's our time to give them back a day to hunt and shoot some sporting clays and have a great lunch and take home some harvested birds.
Yeah, I was obviously we've been here for the first wave that has gone out now. You've got quite the crew out there heading out to these fields. How many people are here hunting this morning?
130 all day.
130 all day. You've got two waves. So what does the day kind of look like for them?
Well, this first group is going to go out this morning for a guided pheasant hunt. And then they're going to come back in and have a delicious lunch. And then after that, they're going to go and shoot some sporting clays.
Now, Chuck, we do want to talk about the partnership that you've developed here with Wild Wings, but maybe you can just give us kind of the quick backstory. You know, this is a 32nd hunt, so you do multiple hunts a year, but are they always focused around deployment? And then kind of tell us how it got started.
Sure. It got started back in 2009 when the division was deployed to Basra, Iraq, and we thought about actually, a friend of mine and I got rained out of a hunting trip, and we were kind of complaining about it. And then we said, well, geez, those guys missed the whole hunting season. We got to do something about that. So that was the first one. We came out here to Wild Wings and asked them if they would help host the event, and they just jumped all over it. And the members out here jumped all over it and sponsored it. And many of those initial legacy sponsors have been with us for all 32 hunts.
And you talk about the different sponsors. We're going to talk to a sponsor a little bit later on in the show. But some of your big ones that you mentioned while we were out on the deck for the safety brief, Federal Ammunition. How important is that?
Well, Federal Ammunition is crucial because they've provided the ammunition, which is a lot of ammunition, and it costs a lot of money. And they've done it for all 32 hunts all these years.
Wow. All right. So when we talk about the hunt, you talk about the partnerships. Obviously, you've got a bunch of sponsors. And, you know, if we start going through every sponsor, we won't get to some of the meat of what this conversation is. But, you know, obviously, partnerships are extremely important. And you've got a great partner right here with Wild Wings. And you brought the manager along to sit down with us. Maybe you can do a quick introduction of the manager here.
Well, Tyler is so helpful. Whenever we need anything, he's right there to help us. And he organizes everything and makes everything go smooth. I think he was up at O'Dark 30 catching birds to be released today. So he's going to have a big day, and we really appreciate all he does for us.
All right. So Tyler Scott, he's the manager out here at Wild Wings. You're a Army veteran, so thank you for your service. How long have you been out here at Wild Wings?
Thank you. I started in Wild Wings in 2014, it'll be the summer of 2014, so about 11 years.
And you were saying that you did do some guiding at one point in time?
Yep, when I was just working in the field, I did some guiding for the first couple of years. And then as I took over management, it got a little complicated to be out in the field when you're trying to take care of the whole group.
And yeah. And as an Army veteran, it must be kind of neat on a day like today where you've got a bunch of service members out there from all branches. I think today, Chuck, we've got both Army and Air Force out here, right?
Yes, we have the 148th Fighter Wing out of Duluth. They were deployed last year. Most of them, our afternoon hunt is almost all Bulldogs.
Okay. And so, Tyler, you know, to have kind of your brothers and sisters in arms out here must be kind of a neat thing for you to see.
Right. It's great to see these guys and gals get out and share their outdoor experience and kind of step back from work a little bit and go out and enjoy a day in the field.
So what's it been like? So, you know, Chuck was saying that the hunts have been happening since the Red Bulls got back. So they got back in 2010. You've been here since 2014. Have you been involved with one way or another all of these deployment hunts along the way then?
Yep,
since you got here?
I've been here for everyone since I started.
And what's it like when you're back in your guiding days, if you guided any of our service members, guiding a group of military members versus, you know, our normal public coming out here? What's that experience like for you?
It's great. A lot of these gals and guys, like I said, they don't get an opportunity to do this very often. So getting together with their counterparts and getting out in the field is a really special experience. There'll be several people here today that have never pheasant hunted before. So it's great to see them enjoy that time.
My first time pheasant hunting was out here for the deployment hunt. So I can understand exactly what that's like and what it means. What does it mean to you, Tyler, as a person that's managing Wild Wings and being able to kind of really shut down the facility for something like this to, you know, support those who have recently deployed or returned from a deployment?
It's great to see everyone come together, put a lot of work into this event, between all the sponsors and volunteers. It's a special day. It's just it's away from our normal day of business, and you can see it's truly appreciated. So we're willing to put in the work and make it happen.
And you've got a whole staff behind you working pretty hard to get this thing done.
Yep, like we said, it started real early. Got a lot of birds to get out in the field, and there's a lot of moving pieces with this today. And we couldn't do it without all the volunteers and all our guides volunteering their time to take the service members out there. And
yeah, absolutely. Chuck.
Yeah, I wanted to say about the guides, he just mentioned them. They all volunteer their time, and they look forward to this. This is, many of them tell me, this is the best thing that they ever do out here, and they guide all the time. So they're really happy to donate their time and work their dogs. And a lot of them just spend the whole afternoon schmoozing with the soldiers and airmen when they're done hunting. So it's a great day for the guides. They love it.
And Chuck, confirm for me here, that when our soldiers, airmen, or service members, they come to one of these hunts, this is a fully sponsored, fully paid for event. How much money do you have to raise in order to put an event like this on?
Well, this event's going to cost about $50,000, and that includes about $15,000 worth of donated materials and the ammunition, the hats, the volunteer time.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, $35,000 of real hard money is going to be spent for the birds and the clay targets and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because you still got to pay to be here. I mean, I'm looking around. I know they're going to get ready for this great meal.
Yeah.
That food's coming from somewhere. Of course, hopefully it's all been shot here in these fields, right? The pheasants anyway. And I don't know what else is on the menu.
Well, there's some barbecued ribs and fried chicken, you know.
Yeah.
You know, over the 32 hunts, and when you add it all up, it's almost $1.5 million that Patriot sportsmen have raised and contributed to make this happen.
Well, that's awesome. And Tyler, you know, again, it's just got to be a nice feeling, especially being able to represent Wild Wings and support our service members.
Yeah, it does feel great. We have some other staff that are veterans as well, and then a lot of our guides are veterans, and a good majority of the overall membership are veterans themselves or have family members that are. So everyone comes together and makes this happen. It's pretty special.
Now, Chuck, how many people do you think have come through hunting in one of these 32 hunts?
About 100 people at a time, so over 3,000.
Okay, and about $1 million a pop.
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million to make this all happen. I mean, what a great deal. And, you know, you at the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon in Hugo, you do so much more than this, but this is kind of like your home run or the big event of the Super Bowl of the year, isn't it?
This is one of our signature events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along with serving the unit meals for family day and care packages. We've sent over 100,000 pounds of care packages. So, yeah.
And we've got 30 seconds. You do a hamburger night too.
Yeah. Burger night at the Hugo Legion once a month, fourth Monday. And we get about 200 people from the community. And the biggest thing about that is it keeps the message out there in the community that we have service members deployed and they still need our support.
Yeah, awesome. Well, hey, Chuck, thanks so much for what you and the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon do to support our service members. And Tyler, thanks for helping out here with at Wild Wings and supporting all of these service members that come back from this deployment. It's a great event. It's going to be a beautiful day, even though it might be a little bit rain later, but it's looking good. And you know what? Just being together and having a great meal makes it all worth it. So thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be with you, Doug.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. Perfect. This is Doug Wortham with Minnesota Military Radio. We're out here at Wild Wings of Oneka in Hugo, Minnesota. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're out here on location at Wild Wings of Oneka in Hugo, Minnesota for the big welcome home pheasant hunt. And last segment, of course, we got to meet Chuck Hawes and Tyler Scott, who's the manager here out at Wild Wings. And I'd mentioned that we'd be talking to a sponsor as well. And one of the field sponsors is the Commander's Own Chapter of the 34th Infantry Division Association. And here to talk about that is the chapter's president, Colonel Retired Chad Sackett. Colonel Chad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Very glad to be here. Obviously, when I look at my military career, you and I have shared a good chunk of that over the years.
You know, it's amazing when I look back. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, so I get to interview Chad Sackett, and then I look back, and I've deployed twice. Both times I've deployed, you were on the same deployment with me back in the, what we like to reference, the Good War to the Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and then the Not-So-Good War in Iraq in Basra in 2009, 2010. So you've got a long history of service as well. So why don't you give us a quick overview of your military service, and then we'll get in and talk about the chapter a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I enlisted a long, long time ago in 1985. And,
oh, we always say 1900.
Yeah, I can't say odd 85. It's probably not correct. But, you know, back when you say 1900 and anything, all these kids look at you like, Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. And now we are grandpas, or I'm a grandpa.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, not yet. I'm not quite there yet. I got married late in life, so I still have a sophomore in high school. So
okay, well.
Yeah. But, yeah, I enlisted and as an MP because I was a criminal justice major, and that's where I met you.
Yeah.
I ended up going through Bemidji State ROTC, becoming MP lieutenant, and then deployed in the first Gulf War. And, like I said, where you and I met. And after that, I was kind of like, as much as I loved being an MP, there wasn't a lot of future, so I branched transferred to the infantry and made most of my career going through two of the 136. Number of staff positions, commanding, obviously spent a lot of time with division where you and I linked up again, deploying to Iraq in 9/10. And that's same thing where I met Chuck as I was sitting in Iraq when the email came up that there was going to be this pheasant hunt and signed up for the pheasant hunt and got back. And I think we did one of our events, our 30-60-90, and I went to check out. And as I dropped my paperwork off at the table, the guy goes, I know you. And it was Chuck Haas. So we got to meet in person. And I showed up to that first one, and all of a sudden Chuck's like, oh, by the way, I got you set up for an interview. And so I ended up spending the day with the Star Tribune and going from there. But, yeah, and then I ended up getting on full-time, much like yourself, for a number of years, active guard and reserve. And so I retired in May of 2020 as the state J3-G3 director of operations.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service, and we appreciate that. And it's good to see you again here. You know, after we retire, you know, we're all on our second careers doing other things, and, you know, we don't have that, general sense of being brought back to a location, i.e. a drill weekend or, you know, a unit or something like that. So it's always great to come to a hunt like this. As I'm walking around, I'm just seeing all sorts of people that, you know, of course I served with and I've known for a long time. So let's talk a little bit about the 34th Infantry Division, the association, the chapter that you're the president of. What is it?
Well, kind of what you just said, you know, the division started in 1917, you know, when got broken up for World War One and stuff, and going into World War Two, obviously got sent over and had a very storied history during World War Two. And coming out of the war, the World War II veterans wanted to get together, and so they started having an annual reunion, and they wanted to capture the history and make sure the legacy, you know, perpetuated, you know. And so in 1947, they created the 34th Infantry Division Association to support that. And in about 2012, the commander's own chapter stood up, and with the division headquarters, for that opportunity to do exactly the same thing, to keep that camaraderie as people were both in and getting out of the service. It gives you that chance to come back and see people. It gives you a chance to capture history, because let's face it, Red Bull history is ongoing.
Right.
We just had the division get back from a deployment. So it's that opportunity to, you know, capture that history, keep in contact with all your comrades that you served with. And right now with the 34th Infantry Division chapter, Commander's Own chapter, we're one of actually seven chapters under the association. There's two in Minnesota. There's like three in Iowa. There's one on the East Coast. And there's actually one in Italy, because that's where the 34th went up to boot. And and so that one, every year they send them money and they put flowers on the 34th Memorial and everything else. So it's a great opportunity for all these people to stay engaged. And like when you look at a lot of these, it's not just the members of the 34th Division. It's the legacy. It's the family members. It's, you know, generations later still looking after the division history and you know, and making sure we honor that history.
And you're out here today as a part of the Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt as a field sponsor. So why? Why is this something that you want to get behind?
You know, we're here to support the 34th Infantry Division and the members of it, you know. And so when we looked at this, and this is something a lot of us have been involved with over the years, and it's such a great thing that Chuck and his crew with from Hugo do, and the opportunity to give back, to, you know, once again show these 34th Infantry Division soldiers, hey, we're here to support you. We're your association, you know, whether it be this. And, you know, it's a great use of our funds to take care of soldiers. A lot of what we do is memorials and other type things. Here a couple of years ago, we worked with some different organizations to put a 34th Infantry Division memorial at both the Camp Ripley, I won't call it Camp Ripley, the Little Falls Veterans Cemetery.
Yeah.
Next to Camp Ripley. People just have a tendency to call it the Camp Ripley, but it right. is two separate entities. One's with the Department of Military Affairs, and the other one's with the Department of Veterans Affairs, or the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And then we were also able to do it in Fort Snelling. And over the years, there's like a plaque at the Army Museum. Iowa put a nice memorial down by Camp Dodge. And so there's just a number of things around, and we're always looking for those opportunities to preserve that legacy, to show it, to, you know, provide that. Like the memorials provide a great opportunity not only to recognize the 34th Infantry Division, but it gives place for families to rally when they're going to the cemeteries to come and reflect about that service.
Well, one of the ways to preserve those stories and that legacy, of course, is through the membership and the members that come in and even tell their own story. So let's talk a little bit about membership. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, but if someone who wants to become a member, is there a requirement for them to be a part of the 34th Infantry Division, to have served in the 34th Infantry Division? What is that requirement, and how could they get involved?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of wide tie. If you've ever served, if you're a current member, a former member, a family member of that individual, you can be an associate member. But it's also anyone who's ever been attached or assigned, even as units or the successors of those units. So it's a pretty wide aperture. Yeah. If you've served with, deployed with the 34th Infantry Division. We were talking earlier, a perfect example would be like we had that Navy Riverine unit with us in Basra.
Right.
Because they were assigned to our unit, they are eligible for membership if they so desire.
All right. And so how could someone find out information about becoming a member?
Well, you can go to we have a Facebook page, the Commander's Own Chapter. We also are on, if you type in 34th IDA, or Infantry Division Association, it'll take you to the national website, and we have a page on there. Basically, you have to become the national member, and then you become a chapter member. It's dues on both. You can do annual or lifetime. It's like a one-time lifetime, $100 to become a national lifetime member, If you're over 60, I believe it's $50, and then it's $100 for a lifetime in the chapter.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you sponsoring the hunt out here, and you know, we want to drive people to your website, your Facebook page, become a member. Let's grow the association and continue to do things like this. I think it's important to be able to support our 34th Infantry Division, our soldiers, and more importantly, all of our service members. And this is a great way to do it at this welcome home hunt. So, Colonel Sackett, retired, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio. And thanks for being a sponsor here.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And we appreciate all you do for the military community.
Awesome. Thanks so much. That's Colonel Retired Chad Sackett, the president of the Commander Zone Chapter of the 34th Infantry Division Association. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We are on location out here at Wild Wings of Onake in Hugo, Minnesota. We're here for the Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt, sponsored by the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, of course, here at Wild Wings. And joining me with this segment is Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Blazovic. He recently returned from a deployment with the 148th Fighter Wing, the Aircraft Maintenance Squadron Commander, the 148th. And Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's exciting to be here. This is an awesome event that Wild Wings and Chuck has put on for all our people. I think we have 40-plus people down here this afternoon, and looking excited to get out in the field.
Yeah, and well, we made you come in just a little bit earlier because you're on the second wave, but they should be starting to filter in shortly. And let's before we get into talking about the hunt today, let's talk a little bit about you. Obviously, you're the commander up there right now, the maintenance squadron. But what is your military history?
Military history, enlisted back in 1994 in logistics, and then transferred over to bioenvironmental, which is like PrevMed, Oc Health, as an enlisted. Commissioned as an engineer in that career field in 2008, 2009, and was also the full-time environmental engineer at the 148th wing up there. Stint in the communications squadron for 2 years as the commander. A little bit of time as the EOC director, and then back to medical and engineering for a while. And then since 2021, I've been the commander of the aircraft maintenance squadron up in Duluth for the F-16s, which is kind of the daily flyers and touchers, crew chiefs, avionics, and weapons loaders, which fall on that side because we're split in two different kind of squadrons up there.
And was joining the Air Force or the Air National Guard, was that the thing that you knew you were going to do all along? I mean, what led you to make that decision?
There's a long history of Blazovics with the 148th Fighter Wing up there. I'm the third generation, so that played a lot of part in it. You know, there's the other part, too, the kid coming out of high school, how are you going to pay for college? That's an important benefit that the Minnesota Guard offers to people.
Yeah, no doubt.
Those all came into play, but also serving your country. It's a great unit, great part of the state to work in up there. So,
yeah, third generation. I mean, that's quite the legacy building up there.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome, but it's also a heavy lift too. Keep on your shoulders, you know, do it better than the last guy.
Yeah, yeah, you. Right. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, what did you accomplish? What rank are you? Well, I was whatever, you know. And I remember way back in the day, a very famous Blazovic supporting the Minnesota National Guard youth camp.
Correct. It was my grandfather, or as you know, we called him at the youth camp, the old bugger.
Bugger. I love that guy.
Or around the base, it was Chief Master Sergeant Blazovic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome. And, hey, thank you for your service. And so you just recently returned from the deployment with the 148th back in October of 24. What was the mission? What did you guys have to do on your deployment?
So our primary package was called the Dynamic Force Employment Package over there. So Okinawa, the F-15Cs are sunsetting on the active duty base over there. It'll probably be 2 to 3 years with they get the new F-15EXs that are coming into the inventory. So there's two or three fighter squadrons stationed at all times on Okinawa rotating in there to provide that fighter coverage and force protection factor over there. And in our case, we split with the 114th Fighter Wing in Sioux Falls, covering a six-month mission. Six of those jets came out of Sioux Falls, and six of the jet tail numbers came out of Duluth. So it was a unique mission for us because there are two different blocks of F-16s. Similar motors, similar, but there's a lot of differences. So we did mix up the packages a little bit. We had some Sioux Falls people with us, and we forward deployed some Minnesota Guard people with Sioux Falls on their front end. Great great team to work with on both sides, and we learned a lot from each other and made one dynamic unit over there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, if you had that opportunity, right, to do some of that cross-training or cross-pollination or whatever you want to call it, you know, rather than just keeping your Minnesota crew together like this, you know, you can get some different experiences and really see how different units, different entities work through their processes and their training and, you know, executing missions.
Yeah, it was an awesome learning opportunity, and, you know, most of our people were there only 90 to 120 days, but we did have some people that volunteered and stepped up and covered the whole 6 months. Both the Sioux Falls unit and the 148th people stayed there for the whole 6 months.
So you said six aircraft. Like, can you say how many people is that generally?
So a total with an Expeditionary Fighter Squadron and Fighter Generation Squadron is a total of 12 aircraft on site at all times as a standard package. We ran about 325 members, and that included pilots, maintenance, and other support functions that supported that effort.
Yeah, because it's not just the person that gets into the cockpit and flies that thing. You got a whole group of people that got to make that thing be able to run and operate efficiently at a moment's notice.
Correct. And typically it's 10 to 12 maintenance personnel per jet operating in the theater.
Wow. All right. So, and then you were overseas for how long?
I arrived at the end of June and then came home in October.
And that's pretty typical, right? I mean, you know, that 90 to 120 or 180 days
Correct.
Is pretty typical for the Air Guard. Okay. All right. So back in the 148th, obviously you've got, what do you say, 30-something years?
30 right now. Be 31 by the end of the summer. So.
Wow, 31 years, all at the 148th. What keeps you there?
Love
besides
of the
name.
Yeah, well, that's true. Love of the mission and people. Yeah. We have some of the best, Minnesota National Guard has some of the best people in the nation. And, you know, opportunities like the deployment this summer, you go out and you meet other active duty members, other unit members, and you realize as a commander how good of people that we have. You know, smart, intelligent, on time, nothing to worry about. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've said this on this show so many times when we talk to, you know, different organizations within the Minnesota Guard and just about that national reputation. You know, it's easy for on the Army side, right? They see the patch of the Red Bull and everybody associates that with the 34th Infantry Division. But just knowing that a member is a part of the Minnesota National Guard, whether it's Army or Air, it seems to always come with a high sense of accomplishment, a high sense of pride for the person wearing the patch. I mean, it's just, the reputation is just great.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, from the day one, my chief and I that got their ADMON in Okinawa and met with the maintenance group commander over there, you know, just to put it in perspective, the maintenance group on the active duty side at Okinawa has about 4,000 people in there. So that 06 has a lot of responsibility and, you know, a lot of headaches come with number of people, you know, and he sat us down and, you know, previous units and who had disciplinary problems and who had and challenged us. And he kind of set a number out there that I was going to have to deal with. And I'm proud to say we had zero issues in Okinawa with people in any kind of disciplinary. So that is really a testament of what the Minnesota National Guard people bring to the fight.
Yeah, no doubt. And I would imagine in that environment, it's not like you're in Iraq where you're locked down. I mean,
Correct.
You get there, an opportunity
there's a lot of opportunities in a place like Okinawa.
Yeah.
We could get into issues or trouble, and our people just knocked it out of the park.
Well, let's talk about the hunt a little bit. You know, obviously it's the welcome home hunt here at Wild Wings. You said that you've got a big group of Bulldogs coming in here for the afternoon, or Team B or whatever you called it. But, you know, as you think about over your career and, you know, the deployments you've been on, the deployments you've seen come and go, how important is it to you to have the support of an organization like Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and specifically Chuck Haas, who everybody knows yeah. from the Hugo, and you know, putting an event like this on?
I think it's huge. You know, stuff like this is always on people's mind, whether they're deployed in a really austere environment or any deployment away from your family, to know that the community is behind you when you come home, and to put an event on like this that, you know, I would say 80% of us or 90% of us would never have an opportunity to do a hunt like this. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
They come together and put all this together for us.
When we were talking to Tyler and to Chuck, I was stating that the first time I pheasant hunted was here at a welcome home hunt. And I would imagine you're going to have some of your troops that that might be their first hunt as well.
Yeah, I believe that a good chunk of the people here, you know, and, you know, even beyond the welcome home hunt, my eldest daughter that, you know, from youth camp back in the day, she had an opportunity to come down here as a child to do the military child hunt here. And it's just outstanding what they put together for us.
Yeah, well, they do a fantastic job. And I just want to say thank you for your service. And, you know, thank you for taking a couple of minutes just to come in and share a little bit about the deployment. I wish you best of luck as you get out there and do a little hunting this afternoon.
Absolutely.
And it's great to see you again.
We're looking forward to seeing some birds this afternoon.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
One with a yellow ribbon on it. I heard a rumor about that.
There you go. All right, that's Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Blazevic, the Aircraft Maintenance Squadron Commander of the 148th Fighter Wing. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Today, again, we're recording out here on location at Wild Wings of Oneka in Hugo, Minnesota. We're here for the big welcome home pheasant hunt, honoring some of our service members who came back from the 34th Infantry Division, the 148th Fighter Wing, and the 934th Airlift Wing. And joining me in this last segment is not a stranger to the show. We've got Brigadier General Joe Sharkey, who's the Deputy Commanding General Support for the 34th Infantry, the Red Bull Division. General Sharkey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Doug, it is so good now to be seeing you in person. Last time we spoke, you know, I was in Kuwait and doing the radio show over here.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because I have a little note here that I want to make sure that I made sure you were aware of. The last time that we were trying to do an interview together, we had some serious communication problems, and we were kind of poking a little fun about the fact that you're the strategic communications director, and you know you were going to be getting a little bit of business because we had some problems with communications. Now, this time around, we've got our military producer, Austin, here, so if anything happens, it's solely his fault, not yours at all.
Austin, he's the best in business. This will go smoothly.
I'm sure that it will. Well, General Sharkey, it's great to see you in person. This is the first time I've seen you since you got back. Talked to you a couple of times, and, you know, it's what a good feeling to be back home, isn't it?
You know, it's good for the... Personally, it's good to be home, but professionally for the division. The 34th Infantry Division performed phenomenally. Soldiers in Jordan, Kuwait, and Iraq for the most part. And, you know, we concluded our deployment with being awarded the AUSA, so the Association of the United States Army National Guard Division of the Year Award. So, I mean, for a culminating event, it was 2024 was a great year.
Wow, what a great honor. And sir, could you remind us, what operation were you a part of with the 34th Infantry Division that you just came out of?
We were assigned to U.S. Army Central Command, and our operation was titled Operation Spartan Shield.
Okay.
And then we also had soldiers that supported Operation Inherent Resolve.
Okay.
So in layman's terms, Operation Spartan Shield is security cooperation, teaming with all of our allies in the Middle East, and Operation Inherent Resolve is to deter ISIS, mostly in Iraq and Syria, you know, now that Syria is dissolved.
Well, we did, as you know, we did two shows. We wanted to be in person, but because of security requirements, we had to do it over the phone or other means, and got to talk to quite a few of your soldiers or the soldiers of the 34th Infantry Division, just talking about the mission and how things were going. And it was interesting to talk to those soldiers and just hear kind of the lifestyle, you know, and there was a lot of PTing going on and an opportunity to do some other cultural interactions, which I thought was kind of neat because I didn't get that opportunity when I was overseas back in 2009, 2010.
Yeah, you know, and Doug, I had the same experience you did. This is my fourth deployment, and you know, the two previous ones in Iraq was all mission. Soldiers, you know, when security conditions warranted, did get the opportunity to go out into Kuwait City or those that were in Jordan, the capital of Amman. Just a phenomenal experience. 50% of the soldiers on the deployment, this was their first operational deployment outside of the United States. And for quite a few of them, it was their first time out of Minnesota.
Wow.
So it's just a blessing, one that we brought everyone home safe and sound. And the experiences that the soldiers had overseas, they'll think about it for the rest of their life.
So last time we talked, you gave the overview of the mission, so I don't want to rehash that. But
sure.
There is one thing I'd like for you to explain to our audience if they don't know. When we talk about a division headquarters, you have obviously the commanding general, and then you have two deputy commanding generals. You're the support deputy commanding general. What's the other one, and what does it mean to be support?
So the other position is the deputy commanding general for maneuver. His responsibility is all things infantry, armor, and aviation. On the support side, I handle logistics, which is maintenance, transportation, movement, human resources, financial accountability and distribution, and then a wide array of other functions, which includes public affairs, strategic communications, our chaplain corps, the inspector general. So I'm the arm of the commanding general that, the portfolio of the DCGS, the deputy commander general support, has a lot of it in it.
Well, and one might argue that the maneuver side relies extremely heavily on, in other words, they can't accomplish what they need to accomplish
correct.
Without your side doing the things they need to
we
do.
We enable it, and they go out and execute it.
Yeah. Well, hey, we appreciate you doing that. I want to talk about some fun stuff here because we only have a few minutes left, and we're out here at Wild Wings in Oneka, Hugo, Minnesota. Chuck Haas, of course, you know him from Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, teamed up with this great organization to do this welcome home hunt. And, just from your perspective, as the deputy commanding general, a part of a group that just came back from the deployment, what does it mean to you to have an organization like this support you and your soldiers?
It is such a blessing, the state of Minnesota, to have organizations like this. This, talking to Chuck, 32nd hunt that they've done, and talking to the soldiers and airmen that were out here participating today, what they said, this is fellowship. It helps them reintegrate. They can see their friends that they deployed with in a setting that is very comfortable. And it helps us reintegrate back in. Even though we've been back now for about 2.5 months, soldiers, it takes time, as to really get back into daily life. In events like this, it's just extremely helpful.
Well, it was interesting as I came in this morning, one, like the place was already packed.
I know.
And I couldn't even hardly find a place to park. But I walked in, and it was smiles on the faces. That might have had something to do with the fact that they had free donuts and coffee waiting for people. But there was smiling, there was talking. I mean, it was reacquainting and reconnecting with people that you had deployed with that you might not have seen for 30, 60 days.
It's true. And it's good fellowship.
Yeah.
And Chuck Haas and Wild Wings and all of the sponsors that are here today, our heartfelt thanks from the 34th Infantry Division. Major General Charles Kemper, our commanding general, just wanted me to convey on his behalf what, the graciousness that comes from these organizations across the state. But specifically, here it's Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and Wild Wings.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and we give a lot of credit to Chuck because he deserves it. It seems like they touch every corner of the state of Minnesota and support units in soldiers and airmen, regardless of whether or not they're in this Hugo area. And I think that's so cool.
It is. They support the entire state, regardless if you're in the National Guard, the Air National Guard, or you're a veteran coming off active duty.
Yeah.
First-class organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's shift gears here because there was some news that recently came out specific to you and the fact that you're going to be getting a new assignment. Maybe you could just share that with us.
It is true. Our Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, has announced that I will be taking command of the 34th Infantry Division. So I'll be replacing Major General Charles Kemper on or about May of this year. So a huge honor, 33 years of service. For the division, what it means to me You know, I've from private to general officer, I've worn the 34th Infantry Division patch, been assigned to that organization. So it is, I'm humbled and honored to be leading this division now into the future.
Well, when I got the news and I sent you a message to congratulate you, you had responded something to the effect of, it wasn't on the bucket list. You had no idea that this was going to even be a possibility for you. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, it's I'm humbled and it is an honor.
Yeah.
You know, our division is, we will keep it as best in class as a National Guard division and represent the state of Minnesota and the United States Army.
You know, it's funny. Well, not funny, but, you know, you say that. I was talking to Colonel Blazevic in the last segment, and, you know, we just talked about the reputation that the Minnesota National Guard, the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls has. And, you know, as you look, you're stepping into this role. And, I mean, do you feel like there's maybe just a little bit of pressure, too? I mean, think about the commanders before you, all the success before you, and yeah, you got to keep up that tradition because the Red Bulls just keep everything they do, everything they touch. It just, I don't want to say it turns to gold, but they always perform.
They do. It's the commanding generals that have come before me. You know, it is, the legacy is a little daunting.
Yeah.
With that said, I will take them into the future.
Yeah.
And it is a good time. There's change going on in the military, and that is something that I will embrace, and we'll move the division forward with the new priorities that are being rolled out by the U.S. Army.
Yeah, well, we've got less than 30 seconds, and I know that you won't do it alone. You're going to make sure that you've got the right leadership around you, too, because that's what it takes to make sure you can continue this legacy.
Thank you, and it is a great team. Thanks, Doug.
All right, that is Brigadier General, soon to be a Major General, Joel Sharkey, taking over the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls, soon here in May of 25. As I said, we're out here on location in Wild Wings at Wild Wings of Oneka in Hugo, Minnesota for the Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks to Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and to Wild Wings of Oneka here in Hugo for hosting us at the Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt. I'd like to also say thanks to you for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us, send us your thoughts. Join us next week when we'll check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and get another Beyond the Yellow Ribbon update. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.